This is Shambhala Sun, editor of web publications Rod Mead Sperry, and you're listening to Shambhala Sun Audio. If you've had the pleasure of reading Between the Lines of the Red Leather Diary in our May 2009 issue, or the best-selling book that lends the piece its name, then you have an idea of the amazing story behind them. Their author is New York Times journalist and artist Lily Coppell. Coppell recently joined me on the phone to talk about her incredible find from another era and how, through chance, perhaps, it caused a new and cherished connection between the author and one Florence Wolfson Howitt, born in New York City in 1915. Coppell spoke in moving detail about this, sharing the Buddhist backstory and even a pleasantly surprising update on the newest chapters of Florence's saga. So the story goes that one morning in 2003, you found a diary, along with other artifacts from the 1930s, in your Manhattan apartment building's storage unit. When you looked inside, you must have felt very fortunate, almost like a time traveler.
I absolutely did. Well, the actual story is I came out of my building one morning. It was October 6, 2003, and parked in front of my Manhattan apartment building was this rusted red dumpster. Now, we usually, you know, walk by dumpsters every day, especially living in New York. But what was so unusual about this one site was that there were about 50 steamer trunks, and these are old trunks that people used to take on ocean liners, and they're riveted in brass, and they were plastered with these vintage travel labels from Paris and London and Monaco. One said the property of the Anne Frank Diary Hotel. And I just had the sensation that this was an absolute message in a bottle, that they weren't going to be around for long. And all of a sudden, I find myself sort of suspending my rational self, grabbing the grimy edge of the dumpster and pulling myself up into what turned out to be this incredible archaeological site. And there were flapper dresses and old photographs. I inherited this stunning coat from Bergdorf. Each handbag had little matchboxes in it, Mahjong booklets, a lipstick called Bachelor's Carnation from Revlon. And among this virtual urban shipwreck was this crumbling red leather diary kept by a young woman named Florence Wolfson from 1929 to 1934.
Now, you've written that Florence seemed to you incredibly contemporary despite the era that she was writing in. What was it about her that struck such a chord with you?
Like myself, she was a painter and a writer, and each of the 2,000 entries that I found within the diary were really written with great literary flair. Entries that I particularly love are like, went to the Museum of Modern Art today, almost passed out from sheer jealousy. I can't even paint an apple yet. It's heartbreaking. And although she was writing in 1929, I was also going to museums feeling the same struggles as the young writer about what I was going to contribute to the world. At first, I thought I had found the chronicle of sort of a nice Jewish daughter. She was jaunting through Central Park on horseback, and she was playing tennis and piano. At a certain point, I stumbled upon the entry, "Slept with Pearl tonight. It was beautiful. There is nothing so gratifying as physical intimacy with one you like." Wow, Florence. You know, she was much more adventurous than I had initially thought and really unbuttoned my whole notion of a 1930s girl. But it almost felt like my own diary. For if I had lived in the 30s, you know, this is the kind of girl I would have wanted to be.
Though you felt it was as if Florence, by way of her diary, was compelling you to find her, and given that she was so frank and so incredibly free-spirited, did you ever feel like a trespasser?
Well, I felt like a voyeur, but as a writer, I think I've always felt like a voyeur. But of course, the diary did come with this little lock that was now rusted. It was open, and I felt like I was living vicariously through her. I knew these were very private thoughts, but I also had the utmost respect for them. And it was really, I was really on a personal mission to rescue this life, this one incredible portal into an individual's experience that was literally headed for a landfill.
And now you write that it was a chance call from a private investigator that led you to Florence Howitt, the Florence of the diary, who was now 90, long married, and living in Pompano Beach. What were the circumstances of his call, and why did he call you?
Well, I write for the New York Times, and I tend to cover sort of eccentric characters around the city. And one story I was particularly proud of was about Manhattan's last typewriter repairman. And he works out of the Flatiron Building. And the day my story ran, I received this phone call from a reader who happens to be a private eye. And he told me that the story had really brought a tear to his eye. He was particularly touched by this inky bar of green soap I had described in the corner. You know, it's just sort of an eccentric detail. And I started talking to Charlie, the private eye, and we decided to meet for lunch. He said he was very old school and could, you know, we do this in person. And I always prefer to meet in person anyway. So I met him a week later at this old steak joint in Midtown Manhattan. And Charlie shows up and he's like a character out of a Raymond Chandler novel. He's wearing a trench coat. His license plate is Sleuth 3. You know, it was almost like he was some sort of existential detective coming into my life. And I shared with him the story of the diary, and I had it in my bag, and I put it out on a cloth napkin because it was crumbling already at that point. And he just said, wouldn't it be incredible, Lily, if we could find Florence's heirs? Now, it had been 3 years since I had encountered the diary. And as I walked around New York and lived my very contemporary life that is filled with Blackberries and iPhones and emails, I sort of thought about Florence. Why had this young woman who seemed so bent on transforming the world around her disappeared into history? And a month later, Charlie calls me up and he says, I think we found her. She's alive. And it was really an incredible moment. By searching old birth records and using this collection of vintage telephone books he had led me now to Florence Howitt, a 90-year-old woman living with her husband of 67 years in Pompano Beach, Florida.
She must have been flabbergasted to get your call, and furthermore by having the diary returned to her when you first met her in 2006.
She was absolutely stunned. I pick up the phone to call her one Sunday morning. She lives between Pompano Beach, Florida, and Westport, Connecticut. And as I started describing to her the serendipitous chain of events that had led me to her, she was just stunned. And she said, you know, did you know I was a writer? And I said, well, yes, you know, of course, from reading your diary. At this point, I already felt like I knew her. And she just said, sort of, who are you that you've searched me out of the universe? And she said, I have to meet you. And of course, I had to meet her too. So when she came up to Westport for the summer, just a few weeks later, I took the train from Grand Central Station to go to meet her. And I always felt like this was the perfect stage set for this next leg of the journey. You go under this constellation-painted ceiling and past this old information booth. And one of Florence's daughters picked me up at the train station and brought me along these winding roads to Florence's house. She lives on the water on Long Island Sound. And we went into her home, and it was filled with these bright abstract canvases. And there was Florence sitting in her leather Eames chair by a window looking out over the garden, unexpectedly glamorous at 90, wearing a little dab of red lipstick. And she held out her arms to me and she hugged me, and I handed her the diary. And it was really this incredible moment, which she's since wrote about in the foreword to the book. She just asks, what does it feel like to have a forgotten chunk of your life handed back to you? And she said, it stopped my heart for a moment. And as she was paging through these brittle leaves, I really had the sensation that I had brought this young woman of the diary's pages to meet her 90-year-old self.
Wow.
And as she sort of, you know, reconnected with that younger self, she started telling me her story. And here I was 25 and she was 90. People are constantly pointing out to us that we actually look alike, you know, so I must have almost been a vision from her past showing up at the door. And she brought me into her world. I think although I had 2,000 entries to work with, I had many questions to ask. I wanted to know more about her parents, who were two Russian Jewish immigrants who'd come to the country in 1906, both from long lines of rabbis who really assailed the social scales very quickly in New York. Florence's mother was a seamstress who would become a couture dressmaker with a shop on Madison Avenue. Florence's father was a doctor who had his practice in the family's home. Though she had a very tense relationship with both of her parents, who were really too busy to have much time left over for Florence and her younger brother, Irving. So the diary had taken on even more of an important role in her life, who was really her confidant. And as she was growing as a person, she was marking all of those developments, spiritual and emotional and artistic, in the diary.
Do you remain in touch with Florence?
In fact, I'm flying this evening to go to Florida to stay with her for a week.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I hope you'll convey our best to her, because we are all so fond of the story, and obviously, by extension, just automatically fond of her.
I absolutely will.
Now, the young Florence of the diary seemed to be attracted to Asian culture and mythology, and the Florence of 93 years old has expressed an interest in Buddhism, which you encouraged by gifting her with a book by your Barnard professor, Robert Thurman. Have you talked more about Buddhism with her?
Well, I plan to, actually, when I fly down today. She writes about in the forwards of the book just how at 90, there are very few expectations left in life. Her husband, who is now 95, was on this downhill slide. You know, she was sort of feeling like she was at the final chapter of her life. And I think the diary's reappearance and just reconnecting with her younger, artistic, exploratory, true self has done is opened up this second act for Florence. And she got a laptop and she's writing again. She's going to be blogging for the Huffington Post. And all of a sudden, you know, she's talking about, you know, what else she wanted to do with her life. And so she started telling me, oh, she wanted to take a figure drawing class. She was a very talented painter and sketcher when she was younger. And she just said something that she's been thinking about her whole life is Buddhism, and just, I guess, really learning some sort of self-acceptance and just a tool to get her through life. What really remains Florence's enduring quest is her eagerness and her curiosity to look at her life very honestly. An interesting question with this whole book is just the role of fate within this project, which is something I'm constantly wrestling with, you know. When I actually first found the diary, I was working on a novel. I was writing fiction, and this story has completely converted me, along with my, you know, other writing for the Times and now for the Shambhala Sun. Like the old saying goes, real life is truly more fascinating than fiction to me right now. And I sort of try to parse out whether this is fate, whether this is just the universe giving you something as it does daily and going one step further to sort of realize it or to connect with it in your own life. And so I guess that's sort of a question for me and for everybody who's listening to this and who's going to read The Red Leather Diary and delve a little deeper into its story and time travel with it. What do you make of this connection between two women and now between thousands of people through this young, precocious artist's found diary and the journalist who found it 75 years later, and I guess just sort of the elegant constellation that life sometimes offers us.
We're so glad that you found Florence and that she's finding herself in yet a new way at 93 years old. This has been wonderful speaking to you.
Thank you so much.
That was author and journalist Lily Coppell sharing more about the famous red leather diary she found as recounted in her Shambhala Sun piece, Between the Lines of the Red Leather Diary, and in her best-selling book. You'll find Lily's article in our May 2009 issue on newsstands now. Or to subscribe to The Sun and save half off, just click the subscribe link found at the top of any page on ShambhalaSun.com. This is Rod Mead Sperry, and thanks for listening to Shambhala Sun Audio.